Welcome to Carnivores Don't Get Sunburned, hosted by Carrie Mann. Dive into the extraordinary journey of rediscovering optimal health through the carnivore diet. Here, we share powerful transformations from reversing chronic illnesses to achieving peak human potential. Each episode, we'll explore the real stories of those who've turned their lives around, embracing a diet that's as natural as the sun. Stay tuned as we uncover the science, the success stories, and the secrets to thriving on this ancestral diet. Plus, don't miss our exciting documentary highlights featuring a diverse range of carnivore champions. Ready to challenge the conventional? Let's get started.
Today's video, we're going to talk a little bit about if you were just diagnosed with cancer, what would Anthony's 30-day plan be?
What's crazy about that is when I first got diagnosed, stage 4 colon cancer, which they told me 6 months max. And look at me now. Everything I'm scared of doing, I'm going to do. Don't ever let an illness, disability, or a diagnosis or a deformity define who you are, what you're capable of. I'm actually, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, I'm jumping out of the airplane for the first time in my life. Yes. And what really pisses me off is when the doctors and other cancer patients are saying, you're just lucky. You're a miracle. I'm not going to apply myself to get here. I was so close to death many a times. This is hypothetical because I'm not going anywhere for a long time. But if I died tomorrow, everything's taken care of. I have a will. I have a cemetery plot. Everything is taken care of. So my family would be able to grieve. My friends would be able to grieve. And that was a hard pill to swallow, being the youngest person in my town walking into the cemetery place to buy a plot. But you have to do the hard things and be responsible for yourself and responsible for your loved ones. And God spoke to me to do all these things once I listened. I've never felt this good in my life, pardon the language.
Hello and welcome. Carrie here from Healing Humanity, the power of a proper human diet. And today I'm thankful, grateful, blessed to welcome back my friend Anthony Haydick. Anthony, how's it going?
Going good, Carrie. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Absolutely. So we've done a couple of videos together, and your story is incredible. We filmed you for our documentary, which I can't wait for people to see your story in there. It's so powerful. Maybe if we could start out, Anthony, could you just tell us sort of the elevator pitch, the abbreviated version of your story? Because in today's video, we're going to do something a little bit different. I'll have a link for all of Anthony's social media, so you can go follow Anthony and you can hear his whole story over there. Today's video, we're going to talk a little bit about if you were just diagnosed with cancer, what would Anthony's 30-day plan be? The 30-day playbook. What are some tips for day one, week one, 30 days in, things like that? But yeah, Anthony, maybe if we could start out, if you could give us sort of the abbreviated version of your story and what led you to carnivore.
Yeah, so a quick short story about my situation and how I got to where I'm at is I ended up having a major surgery in 2022, July. I ended up having a softball-sized tumor removed. Before I had surgery, I was told it was benign with the biopsies I did. So they flash forward to the surgery. They noticed there was stuff on my liver as well. So they pulled part of my liver off. And flash forward to September 2022, which is about a month and a half after surgery, the cancer center had an appointment with me. And long story short, they weren't benign tumors. They came back as cancerous. It's classified as stage 4, just cancer. GIST stands for gastrointestinal stromal tumor, which is a rare sarcoma. I've been on two different types of treatments through Western medicine. Both failed. The cancer got worse. It spread further. And so I ended up quitting chemotherapy January of 2023 and made a game plan to either make it or die naturally. And here I am now. I'll be 34 in a couple more weeks. So I am now, in a couple of weeks, I'll be 3 years into the diagnosis. And what's crazy about that is when I first got diagnosed, they told me 6 months max. And look at me now. It goes to show you that mindset, the power of the proper human diet and just taking life by the cojones and applying yourself through the right time and the right sources could benefit your life and make it prolong your life and give you a better quality of life. A quick summary of how I got to carnivore is when I quit chemo, which we're going to talk about this, you know, in a 30-day plan. But when I quit chemo, I made a plan. I wish I had the knowledge I do now back then, and I wouldn't have wasted so much money and time and struggles, blood, the whole nine yards. But when I quit chemo, my plan was to try different diets 3 months at a time between scan intervals to see what food groups would do to the tumors, the minions, as I call them. And plant-based, standard American most of my life, Mediterranean, keto. And during my keto phase, somebody sent me a link, and I'm going to shout this guy out till the day I die, Jeff the Prosperous. He is carnivore, stage 4 colon cancer, and he was not just surviving, he was thriving. I'm like, you know what, if this gentleman could do chemo and carnivore and he's having success and looks as good as he does, why not just hop on carnivore? And at that time, I was really scared of carnivore because red meat causes cancer was the slogan going around all over. Well, come up in a couple more weeks, September 1st will be my 2 solid years carnivore. And in the last 2 years, basically, nothing has grown tumor-wise. I've actually had some success shrinking some tumors. And my quality of life is through the roof. Even as a child, I've never felt this good.
That's incredible. You got me tearing up there too for a second.
I was trying not to, man. I'm sorry.
Carnivores don't cry. It's not true. We definitely do, but it's amazing. It's tears of joy too, just seeing how much you're absolutely thriving. I've witnessed it personally because we filmed you for the documentary. But I just want to say real quick, I just despise and hate the fact that these doctors put a number. You got 6 months, Anthony. That's it. And I don't know what it is about that, but I hate it. I think part of the reason I hate it too is because I feel like with a diagnosis like that, you should have hope and a plan. And telling someone you got 6 months to just go do some chemo is not giving them the proper mindset or a plan. And it just seems criminal to me, in my opinion. And here you are, what, 3 years later.
3 years later, come the 9th of September, it'll be 3 years exactly from the diagnosis date. And September 1st will be 2 years in the carnivore. And to go on to what you said about doctors, is the only person that could tell anybody their time and nobody even knows it is God. You know, I don't care how much money you spend on education, you can't play God and you don't know anybody's timeline. And to go on to what you said about getting a timeline, is that just sets a person up for failure. It gets in their negative mindset. And when you're battling life in general with or without an illness, you need to have a positive outlook, a positive mindset. Negativity and positivity both have a ripple effect. I'd rather spread joy and sunshine and light and have a good attitude versus, you know, have that black cloud around me and be depressed and have people feel sorry for me.
I'm with you. You know, and I used to, I've heard over the years, mindset is so important when you're healing. But if I'm being honest, Anthony, I used to be like, that's just some like hippy dippy, like, oh, feel good, everything will be good. There is actual legit science. If you are stressed and you're worried and you're hopeless, you're releasing cortisol and that turns to glucose. And when you're fighting cancer, the last thing you want to have is more glucose. That's like one of the reasons that people doing carnivore are so successful, because they're eliminating that fuel source for the cancer, the glucose. So there's actually a lot of science behind it. I just wanted to say that for anybody that was thinking the way I was, like, oh yeah, I have a good mindset. There's legit science around it as well. So I'll have a picture in the thumbnail. When Anthony says he's feeling better now than he did in his childhood, like, you are jacked and ripped and you're like, you're going to the gym, you're doing like these crazy races, and like, You're not exaggerating when you're saying this. Like, typically, for the average person, if they said, okay, there's a person with stage 4 terminal cancer, and then they saw what you're doing in the gym and what you're doing with your life and what you're doing with athleticism and the races and everything you're doing, the fact that you're even here, like, you're spending your time on my channel sharing your story, but also on social media, which requires an incredible amount of time and energy. The fact that you have the energy to do all of these things is an absolute testament to what you're saying is the truth. Like, I'll put a bunch of pictures up on the screen of Anthony, but I think it's fair to say you're not exaggerating when you're saying you're feeling better now than you have your entire life.
My name is Kerry. I'm filming a documentary called Healing Humanity. And if you want to see more stories like the story you're watching right now, please help us out. Our project is entirely crowdfunded. I've been working on it for 2 years now. We want to get more stories like this from all around the world. Please donate at donate.healinghumanity.movie. Every penny goes towards the documentary. I've been working on this for 2 years now. I haven't taken a single paycheck, and I never will. Our goal is to reach millions of people who are hopeless in the world. We're doing a documentary. We're doing a series. If you want to support us, please donate or join our membership site so we can support you. $15 for your first month special offer in the description below. Sign up for our newsletter, buy our merchandise, our Healing Humanity shirts, and all of those proceeds go 100% towards our documentary. Thank you so much. Now back to today's video.
It's not an exaggeration at all. I think about 5 or 6 years old is when I first started hopping on medications to go to the bathroom properly, because I've always had bowel movement issues and stomach pain. And it wasn't until going to carnivore when my life changed. And I actually recently, I finally made an event on my Facebook page saying your life event went carnivore September 2023. And I was born again, you know, because I've never felt this good in my life. Pardon the language.
I'm with you. The born again thing, it feels like that was my big epiphany on carnivore. It's like, I feel like I'm alive for the first time. And now I'm kind of mad because I feel like I was losing out on this the whole time. I was a shadow of the human being I could have been. And had I not found this, I would have been a shadow and even just progressively getting worse until the day I died and never really knowing what it's like to just really be alive and feel it. So I'm with you 100% on that. It's
a lot of years wasted not being carnivore, but the cool part, and this is where I say perception makes or breaks a situation or outlook, is I spent 30, 31 years suffering, but in the last 2 years, look at the impact I've made. So those years of suffering made the impact for the ripple effect that much bigger, you know, because people seeing the struggles I went through to where I'm at now. It's not easy, especially put your life on display. It's getting better as you do it. And I've always been into adrenaline, sports, the whole nine yards, but I've always been scared to do certain things. I'm actually tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, I'm jumping out of an airplane for the first time in my life.
Yes. I love it.
Facing all my fears one at a time, man. Never skydived before, and here we go.
How did that come about?
So real quick. And I'm going to try not to get emotional. The last 13 days of my life been really hard. I lost a couple friends, some major heartache going on. And a couple days ago, I was driving home and a Tim McGraw song came on, Live Like You're Dying. And in that song, you know, in theory, he gets diagnosed with cancer in his early 40s and his life changes forever. And he starts living like he's dying, skydiving, bull riding, mountain climbing. And I'm like, you know what? I actually had to pull over and I cried for like 10 minutes throughout the whole song. I couldn't drive anymore. And I was like, you know, let's reenact a song into my life. And so I'm facing every fear I have. I'm jumping out of a plane tomorrow. When I get the funds, I'm going to go over to Seattle and climb a rock wall. It's 100 feet tall. I mean, that'll be hardest up, of course, but everything I'm scared of doing, I'm going to do. And I'm going to put it all in the video form and show to the world that mindset's everything. You know, you get one shot at life and be scared and do it anyway. You know, don't live with regrets.
I love it, man. It's incredible. So I mentioned this earlier, but I will have links in the description below. Go subscribe. Go follow Anthony. I'm going to be watching. That's awesome. On my 18th birthday, I went skydiving. And it was one of the most incredible things ever. I'm so excited that you're going to get the opportunity to do it. You know, I learned at some point that these things that we fear in life, that we dread so much, it's like all the great things in life are on just the other opposite end of that fear. You get through that fear, that's like all the best stuff, all of it. Skydiving's one of them, but I think too, like in my teenage years, you're scared, you're terrified to go talk to a girl, and then you end up finding a girl and you end up getting married, and it's like you have kids, it's like your whole life. It's like the best things in life are on the other side of that fear. So Stutz skydiving is going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch it on your channel.
They climb from 13,000 feet to 5,000 feet. Takes about 60 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And I didn't even do that. When I went, it was a static line. So you just jump out, the chute opens, and then you're on the ground.
Oh.
You, what you're doing is incredible because you get to free fall for – you get to some time up there. But it's that's awesome. That's really cool. All right. Let's jump into the video. So the title of the video is Just Diagnosed with Cancer, Anthony's 30-Day Playbook. And again, this isn't medical advice. This is Anthony's experience. I believe people are adults and they can make decisions for themselves. I thought it'd be interesting to talk about this, Anthony, because not to say that you've had a perfect run, right? Getting diagnosed with cancer and going through it. You've learned things that you're probably like, man, now that I know this, on day one, maybe I would have done this a little bit differently or a little bit that differently. So if someone out there is watching and they're on day one and they were just diagnosed with some sort of cancer, what sort of advice would you give them?
Well, to go on it real quick is I did waste a lot of time and a lot of money trying to learn where I've been, what I've learned so far. And I'm going to use this metaphor, whether it's cancer or any illness for that matter, because I think it's related to all of them, is when you get a diagnosis that's life-changing, Crohn's, diabetes, cancer, the very first thing you need to do is have your moment of grief that day and then get over the grief. The mistake a lot of us make and the mistake I did off the get-go was let it get in my head. And I'm going to cuss real quick. By the time I left my very first cancer appointment, by the time I cried like 10 minutes, my mom cried when we got my diagnosis. But by the time I left that office after I had my moment of grief, I told that oncologist, I'm going to make cancer my bitch. And here I am living that every day, proving it. So your very first day, you get the diagnosis, dwell on it, have your moment of grief, but get over it. And in my case, I lived with cancer unknowing for 4 or 5 years prior to, because it's a slow growing sarcoma. I found out, I didn't realize it was that slow, but it is. Let me rephrase that. It's slow growing as long as I behave. If I don't behave, it could get a lot quicker or worse. But most of us live with conditions for a long time before we get a diagnosis, and we don't know it. It's not in our head. We don't dwell on it. When then we get the diagnosis, it's like, oh, it's right in our face, and that's all we want to think about. And as you said earlier in the conversation, is mindset's everything. You know, you think of it, you be negative, it's going to get worse. You know, you got to be positive, have a good outlook. And so have day one, have your moment of grief, cry it out, and then day two, make a game plan. And in my case, the game plan I made was, let's do different diet. Well, let me rephrase that. In my case, day two, I was like, let's listen to the doctor, whatever they say goes, you know what I mean? I was not my own advocate at first. I just, hey, they have an education, I believe them, let's do it. And after I realized the cancer got worse throughout my regimen with the doctor, I realized I had to be my own advocate or I was going to die. You know, I spent 10 months pissing blood, having seizures, the whole nine yards, in and out of ICU with heart problems. And so for anybody getting a diagnosis, day two, make a game plan. In my opinion, I mean, now that we know glucose and L-glutamine feeds tumors, according to Professor Thomas Sidfrey, which you guys need to follow him as well, food choices matter. I would either go keto or carnivore to begin with, preferably carnivore, because keto still has carbohydrates, which carbohydrates break down into sugar. And I would also get a gym membership, or at least learn how to exercise and move your body on day two. A body in motion stays in motion. And in my case, this might be a couple of days ahead of the regiment, by the way, but in my case, I knew a lot of people in my hometown. I had a lot of friends and family. As soon as I got the diagnosis, I made a Facebook post. Like as soon as I had the surgery, I made a Facebook post because I didn't want to have to text 100 different people every day about everything going on. Well, since I publicized my journey, it's been very overwhelming at times. It's been stressful at times, but luckily now I've learned how to control it all. But the hardest thing that I will say is I vocalize that I have cancer inside of me. people look at me different. People act towards me different. And one of my sayings I said in Seattle when I met you in person is, don't ever let an illness, disability, or a diagnosis or a deformity define who you are, what you're capable of. And so many people of us judge a book by its cover and judge a person because of their situation that they're dealing with battles. We are all human. We shouldn't be looked at differently because we have a diagnosis or we have a disformity or a disability. And what I would also say within the first week of a diagnosis is, you know, if you want to talk to people, that's fine. Talk to people, publicize it. But remember, the more it's publicized, the more it's going to be brought up, the more it's going to be in your head. So you need to have that positive mindset. For example, in my own situation, yes, I talk about the cancer quite a bit, but words are powerful. I never anymore claim it's my cancer. I say it's the cancer because I'm not claiming anything that's negative. And I've learned to, when I talk about it, I don't talk about it in a negative way. I talk about it in a blessing, a positive way. You know, I've met Carrie. I've met all these amazing individuals. I've learned how to feel good and be good. So even if you're talking about a hard subject, you have to have a positive perception on that hard subject, which goes back to mindset, which should be, you know, day one or two is getting your mindset right.
Right. So much good stuff there. You mentioned this. You did a social media post on Facebook. Some people immediately after they get diagnosed, because I've heard other people talk about this, they'll call friends and family and tell them. And I guess maybe it's just a caution, like just think about how to approach this. Cause I've heard this be an issue for other people. They call 100 people and tell them about their diagnosis. And then the next day they go on and they have more tests done and then something changes. And now they feel this obligation to call 100 people again. So you did Facebook, which has its pros and cons, but I almost wonder if a solution like that is better for someone in the situation where you could just post it there versus trying to tell 100 people, which could perpetuate the stress and keeping people updated.
So in that case, yes, less is more, you know, and time is valuable and stress, you know, is not good. So if you have to spend, say, an hour texting 100 people the same thing, when you could spend 5 minutes making a post and make it a public or private post, depending on who's all on your Facebook and who all you want to know, that is an easier route. And that's what I chose to do, because at that point in time, my mentalness wasn't very good and I got stressed out very easy. So I was like, less is more. Let's make just one shot at it. And everybody could follow along if they want to or not.
Love it. The other thing you mentioned, Professor Seyfried, who's incredible. We also filmed him for the documentary. One of the things he suggested, because I asked him a similar question, what would you do if you had a loved one diagnosed with cancer? What advice would you give them? And his suggestion was also to exactly what you said in terms of being your own advocate, taking things in your own two hands. His suggestion was do a deep dive and research into the particular type of cancer that you have, because your doctor, your oncologist is, so many times we put our blind trust into them and they're seeing hundreds of patients. They don't have the time or the, incentive to dig in as deep as you would. So that was one thing Professor Seyfried said, is research the heck out of your particular type of cancer, because there's lots of different forms of it and possible treatment paths for it. So Anthony, we kind of covered day one, week one. What would you say maybe weeks two or three? Are there other things you would start incorporating besides maybe just nutrition and mindset?
So once you get the nutrition and mindset figured out and make a game plan for the week one, I mentioned, you know, exercise, gym, something like that. And that's for anybody, illness or not. Like, you need to have muscles on your body. Muscles equals longevity in life. Learned that the hard way. You know, when I was young, I was like, I don't need a gym. I'm already in shape. I'm not fat. And I wasn't that healthy. So week two and three, I would suggest slowly implementing the game plan. You know, like you said, figure out what type of cancer you deal with, figure out, research it. So like in my case, I deal with GIST, I deal with SDHA deficiency, and I deal with the wild type, which was inherited through my great grandmother, I was told. And was the type of cancer I deal with the SDHA deficient GIST. That is a dysfunctional mitochondrial disease, I found out through my own research. None of my 11 oncologists I've been through has told me that. I had to figure that out on my own. So in my case, you know, I had to research, okay, what helps the mitochondria? Red light therapy, cold therapy, sauna, you know, mindset, stress, the whole nine yards helps mitochondria. And so I literally built my regimen around to have healthier mitochondria. And that's part of the reason why I'm, you know, having such good success besides the diet, or the proper human diet, I should say. I hate the word diet.
Right.
So understand what type of illness you deal with. Understand the mutations if you have the testing done. And again, this is from what I learned the hard way. Blood work is by far better than imaging. You could tell a lot through blood work. You just have to find the right doctors or the right oncologists or the right cancer nutritionalists that understand how to find the blood markers that you're looking for. So not only research your mutations and research your cancer, the cancer, research doctors in that line of work that's knowledgeable and have a good reputation, you know. In my own case, like I said, I've been through 11 oncologists. I've been through 3 dietitian nutritionalists. The first 2 were shit. The third one's amazing. The third one's actually has been helping me get my blood work better because she's like, oh, yeah, you're carnivore, but you still need more fish in your system. So I got to trade red meat for fish off and on throughout the week, and my blood work's improved. That can't work for everybody. Like you said, we're all our own advocates. And my mistake, too, in the very beginning, and this is what I want to talk about, like week 2 and 3, is you need to really, really hone in and keep things organized, whether it's medical records, your at-home notes. Organization will help you in the long run because then you can look back, you know, between imaging or blood work and, oh, I was doing good here and now I'm doing bad. What changed? How can I flip that around and go back to what I was doing that worked? And like I said, I learned that the hard way. When I quit, during the regimented treatment I was on, the cancer got worse. It spread further, like tripled in size. And then once I quit treatment for the next 8 months, it still continued to grow until I figured out how to put my body into a state it wouldn't grow. So again, like Carrie said, this is a conversation, not a consultation. This is all through my own experience. And each one of us has to be our own advocate. It's not easy, but you live with your body. You live with the choices you make. The doctors do not. And in my own particular case, and I mean this with all due respect, everything I say is try to be respectful as possible, but I think it was oncologist number 3 I had try to force me back on the chemotherapy, saying I was going to die without it. And the types of treatment he was trying to put me on was the same treatment that was making the cancer worse. Oh. He just wasn't educated, and he's like, that's all he was trained in that avenue. You need treatment. And I asked him, sir, the treatment you're trying to prescribe, I already did for 130 days. It aged me. It caused me to piss blood. It caused my kidney to shut down. Why do I need to be on this? And his only response he could do back was, without it, you're going to die. I was like, dude, I was dying quicker with it.
Right.
So, and this is my own opinion on life. I mean, quantity of life is amazing, but quality of life is by far better than quantity of life. I personally would rather go out at 30, 40, or 50 and feel amazing than make it to 80 or 100, you know what I mean? Yeah. And be miserable.
Oh, I'm with you. We interviewed a woman for the documentary, and she said something similar. She said, people keep telling me I'm a ticking time bomb on carnivore, which is completely untrue, by the way. But she said, if you give me a contract right now and have me sign it and says I can be carnivore for 1 more year, or I can have 10 more years on the standard American diet, but I'm going to do carnivore for 1 more year and I'm going to drop dead a year later. Give me that piece of paper. I'm signing it right now because I feel that much better doing it this way. I'm like, I'm with you 100%. I've never heard anyone say it that way, but I'm like, I would sign the same thing 100%. The shadow of the human being before. But so we mentioned Professor Seifert. I just want to say real quick, because I usually get these comments. For those that are, go check out Anthony, learn more about what he's doing, watch his stuff. But I know a lot of people are going to watch this and going to say, what is this carnivore? What is metabolic therapy for cancer? What are these things? One way you can learn about it, You can actually just Google Professor Thomas Seyfried, and his Boston College webpage comes up, and he has his email address right there. And he's fine with us sharing this too, by the way. He's got a team of people working there. You can email him and you could say, listen, I was diagnosed with this type of cancer. What do you suggest? And he'll send you a packet of information, and they've got different types of information for different diagnoses of cancer. So I encourage everyone, if you want to know this, because a lot of people, Anthony, will say, I don't have a doctor that will go along with this. And it's like, you don't, like, you can fire your oncologist like Anthony did, and you should find the right one. But in order to eat a proper human diet, you don't have to have a doctor to do that. It's the food you're putting in your mouth. So you can learn more from Professor Seyfried on that. All right. So that covered, we were kind of weeks 2 and 3. What about like day 30 and beyond? Like one of the things I was thinking, I know you've done a little bit, like maybe fasting or other things environmental wise that you do differently 30 days in or so.
So yes, the fact that you brought up fasting, I'll use my own example of this, is I've always been a garbage gut, like eat whatever I can, all I can. Like I lived for food. I had a high metabolism, and I'm a firm believer that my lifestyle and my food choices is what brought out the cancer at an early age. And before I even went carnivore, I actually missed out on 2 different operations. Because I couldn't control my eating habits. I was supposed to go in for surgeries, and they said you can't eat for X amount of hours prior to. I woke up in the middle of the night and ate. You know, so I actually missed out on 2 surgeries because I didn't have the self-control and discipline with food because I was so addicted to it. So once I became carnivore, for one, the food addiction dropped. Like, I'm like, oh, all these crazy cravings I used to have stopped, and now I feel full and I stop eating. You know, it was the word satiated. And so as I've learned about fasting, different types of fasting, you know, there's dry fasting, wet fasting, short fasting, which is intermittent. There's long fasting, which is prolonged. Learn about fasting and learn to control with food. You know, if you can make it 6 hours with no food or 8 hours, which most of us should be able to go 8 hours with no food when you go to bed, try to push for a couple more, push it to 10 hours, push it to 12. The regimen that I'm on 90% of the time is I intermittent fast every day. So I eat in an 8 hour window. I go 16 hours a day with no food. And then every month I try to do a 3 to 7 day fast. I haven't done any 7 day fast in a couple of months just because I'm too lean. You do need fat on your body to survive. And especially if you're fighting cancer, you need a little bit of cushion. In case something does go south, you have room to breathe still. But right now I'm 181 pounds, 12.5% body fat. And so I don't have enough fat to go very long, like 3 or 4 days at a time. So for the last month or two or last couple months, I just been doing 24 to 48 hour fast. When I don't feel hungry, I just don't eat. And the cool part about fasting, and Carrie could probably touch on this if I miss any spots, is fasting not only gives you mental clarity, it also gives your body time to reset. Your liver, and this is where I might butcher it, your liver is the only organ that has 2 functions. It helps process food, but when you're not eating and you don't have that 30 feet of digestive tract full, your liver is now a healing device. It I don't know the proper terminology, but it helps heal the body more. And in my case, that's where the cancer is. It's in the liver now. And what's crazy is my liver functions from today's date is better than when I was 21 years old.
That's a huge thing. I hardly knew anything about the liver before starting carnivore, and I've since learned it's pivotal to so much of our health. And there's an epidemic right now of fatty liver disease going around. 1 in 3 people walking around have a fatty liver. And they probably don't even know what that is or know that they even have it. It's non-alcoholic in most cases too. And I think carnivore is one of the best ways to heal your liver for sure. And the thing with fasting, it's like, Anthony, a lot of people hearing this say they're eating a standard American diet. They're going to be like, this guy's only eating meat. That's crazy. This guy's fasting. He doesn't eat for a couple of days sometimes. That's crazy. Once you start doing this, you realize this really isn't crazy. This is really how humans have operated since the start of time. What's crazy is the last 100 years or so where we could just eat anything whenever we wanted. But for the majority of our time on the planet, we would have been doing exactly what Anthony's doing, eating mostly meat. And then you would have intermittently fasted, and maybe every couple of days you might not have eaten, have even eaten for 3 or 4 or 5 days because you went out hunting and you couldn't find a big animal. Then you found a big animal and you feasted, and then you fasted for a couple more days. So it sounds crazy at first until you really start doing it yourself and realizing this is natural. And then realizing, like, wait a minute, this is pretty much what humans have done for as long as we've been breathing air. It's no different. What people are doing these last 100 years is really what's kind of crazy.
That's what's crazy is the last 100 years, and these are hypothetical numbers, by the way, but the last 100 years is like maybe 0.2% of the human lifespan. Prior to that, you know, we had a vast, wide opening of what we were doing, and a good 90% of the illnesses we deal with all started within the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And it's because of what we put in the mouth. Just because it fits doesn't mean it's food. And to an example of that, you have vehicles, gas and truck. You got gas cars and diesel cars or vehicles. You put diesel in a gasoline tank, it ain't going to run. You put gasoline in a diesel tank, it ain't going to run. And so just because it fits in the mouth doesn't mean it's food. And I've had a few people argue with me about that. I'm like, all right, let me piss in your gas tank. I'll piss in it for a week and fill it up and try to drive your rig. It ain't going to run.
Right.
So it's like, why do you think just because it fits in the mouth, the body knows what to do with it? And to go on a quick little TMI subject about food and waste from food is, prior to carnivore, I had really bad bowel movement problems. You know, like I said, as a kid, I was on medications to go poo. At work, you know, being a logger, tree climber, grounds guy, my nickname for many years was Bounty Bob because I always walked down with toilet paper or Bounty because I had shitting problems, part of my language. And I only go every other day now. And they're like trophy turds, like 10 out of 10. It's like 1 or 2 wipes and they're done. And it's like, it's pleasurable now to go to the bathroom for the first time in my life.
Right. I'm with you. It's natural for the first time. That was another thing when I went carnivore. Because a lot of people that go carnivore, they'll say, I think I'm constipated. And it's like, wait a minute. Just because you're going less frequently doesn't mean you're constipated. Do you have any pain or discomfort? And almost always you're like, no, I used to go every single day or twice a day. And now it's like every 3 or 4 days. And that was another thing that happened for me too. And I'm like, again, looking back and thinking, what a waste of time, literally. All the time I was in the bathroom, literally, I would work my butt off to get money in the bank so that I could go to the grocery store to fill the cart up with food, put it in my body, and crap it all out the toilet. And it was just waste in, waste out. And you'd go every single day. And I was like, you really realize afterwards, going carnivore, it's like your body is utilizing all of the nutrients and the fat and the proteins from that steak. There's almost nothing left afterwards. That's how powerful eating this way is. Whereas before, it was just like you're constantly going to the bathroom and bloated and sick. It's really amazing what a toll we put on our bodies.
So a little side note is that's why fiber is so freaking important on a standard American diet. Because fiber, and this isn't scientific terms, this is how I make it up, but fiber is like a magnet. It pulls all the bullshit together that your body can't digest, and that's what you leave in the toilet.
Right.
So you go to the store and you buy a burrito at the restaurant, you know, it's a $15 burrito, and you go take a dump 6 hours later, 4 hours later, that dump's the same size as that burrito. You just wasted $15 worth of food or money just to leave it in the toilet because nothing's digestible.
and to your point, it was so bad for you. It's sitting in your gut and your body's like, what the hell do I do with this? That you have to consume indigestible fiber, which is non-essential. It's basically like you got to take some sawdust, some tree pulp, and put it in there so that it can bind to this garbage so you can get it out of your system. And now the standard person will claim like, you can't do carnivore, you need fiber. No, you don't. It's not essential, just like carbohydrates aren't essential. But it really is eye-opening how bad that diet was, that you have to go to that extent just to have a bowel movement. And then I used to be so fatigued, so much brain fog prior to carnivore. It makes perfect sense. Like, that requires an incredible amount of energy for your digestive system. That burrito example, your body, that your digestive system, your body's like, what the hell is this? There's 26 ingredients. There's chemicals, there's pesticides, glyphosate, sugars, carbs, like you could list all the ingredients out. There's probably 1,000 ingredients. And then your digestive system is supposed to process all of that. And then what happens 45 minutes later? I'm hungry again because you get that little hit of carbs and sugar and you want more. It's just relentless. And then you get to the end of the day and you plop down on the couch and you're completely exhausted. And for me, I was like, dude, my job is typing on a computer. Why am I so exhausted? I can't stand up right now. Well, it's because of the toll all of that digestion was putting on my body. It's just crazy when you think about it.
Even working in the woods after lunchtime, I'd fall asleep, take a nap, you know, eat my food. My boss was like, dude, you got to get work. I'm like, dude, I'm so tired. I just want to take a nap. And most time he'd let me sleep for a little bit, you know, but it's like, that's not normal. You shouldn't be tired after eating. You should be rejuvenated. It'd be like going up to a fuel pump with your car, filling it up. Oh, sorry, I got to let the car cool down for a couple hours before I could drive again because I filled the tank up. It makes no sense.
Right. Yeah. Awesome. So, man, we covered some good stuff here. We talked a little bit about fasting. I was just going to say that I've interviewed a lot of individuals and a couple with cancer, and one of them, everything that Anthony's saying, I think is amazing advice that people should pay closer attention to. One of the most remarkable people I interviewed was Tammy Peterson, Jordan Peterson's wife. She was diagnosed with terminal cancer as well and given months to live, and she's been in remission for 6 months, absolutely thriving. And she attributes it to the things that Anthony's talking about here. Proper human diet, no glucose, no sugar, no carbs, not feeding at that. So Tammy was carnivore, and mindset, prayer and mindset. She says, I'm alive right now because of carnivore and prayer and mindset.
And God is good.
I know too is, just real quick, Ronnie Campbell. Ronnie Campbell is incredible. She's been in remission, and she wasn't doing carnivore at the time, but she was eating really clean, like way better than most people. And the thing that she was doing that Anthony's advocating for too, that she believes saved her and I believe does as well, was exercise. She's a beast. Like, she is constantly exercising, and her mindset was there as well. So mindset, exercise, proper human diet, like those three things are so critical.
And touch base on your prayer thing too. You know, God is good. Growing up, I did church, was never into it. Teen years, I went to church, never was into it. Early mid-20s, went to church, never was into it. I tried church during chemo. I walked out, and I wasn't in the right mindset. And I think it was August this last year, I went to church one time just with an open heart and open mind, and I bawled. I cried, you know, and I was finally ready. And what I've realized, and this is kind of an example of my own self, is in the beginning, I'm like, why God? Why me? Why this? What I do to deserve this? You know, I lost my father in 2019 from a different type of cancer. Why would I get it diagnosed, you know, same timeline, so to speak, because my dad made it like 6 months since he got diagnosed and passed. And what I realized is God wouldn't put something on a pathway we can't handle. You know, in my own case, I asked for strength. I prayed for strength. I prayed for friendship. I prayed for love. And I had to go through all the hardships to get all that stuff. You know, I had to apply myself to get all that stuff. And what really pisses me off is when the doctors and other cancer patients are saying, you're just lucky. You're a miracle. Not applied myself to get here. I was so close to death many a times. Like, this is hypothetical because I'm not going anywhere for a long time. But if I died tomorrow, everything's taken care of. I have a will. I have a cemetery plot. Everything is taken care of, so my family would be able to grieve. My friends would be able to grieve. And that was a hard pill to swallow, being the youngest person in my town walking into the cemetery place to buy a plot. But you have to do the hard things and be responsible for yourself and responsible for your loved ones. And God spoke to me to do all these things once I listened.
Yeah, man. I'm with you. And for anyone that says something like that to you, it's disgusting. I hate that. Not only did you do the hard thing, like just doing carnivore alone, by the way, is hard. But deciding to go down the path that you did with your diagnosis, almost nobody would do it. Almost nobody would do it. I always tell people that too. From the carnivore perspective, the majority of people will never do carnivore because they're frankly, cowards. They're too scared to do it. They're going to continue doing the same thing, and they're never going to feel like you or I did. So you've done it on two fronts. I can't even imagine doing carnivore on one hand and then the path that you're taking for your cancer treatment. It's freaking incredible. Most people wouldn't do that. And most people would end up with drastically different results as a result of having that fear to not do it in the first place. So
one of the hardest things I do for my regiment, which very few people do that I know, is cold therapy. Every day I wake up, I hop in a shower real quick, do 4 or 5 minutes of hot water, get all the, you know, sweat off me. And then I hop in my cold tank, which it's normally set at 44 degrees. I brought it down to 36 degrees with 100 pounds of ice is the coldest I've done. But every day I sit for either 3 minutes to 10 minutes in that tank first thing in the morning to stimulate a wake up response, to stimulate the mitochondria health, to stimulate the circadian rhythm and boost my metabolism, convert my white fat to brown fat, my blood flow. It actually helped my neuropathy. It's just really hard to deal with. But how many people would spend almost $2,000 to build their own tank to sit in cold water every day? Very few.
Right. And then actually follow through with it once they had the tank.
Yeah.
It's like one time, I'm good.
It's hard, but dying's harder.
Right. Right. Well, on the front of talking about God, I like to rephrase things or think about things differently. And we talked about, I don't want to start get us both crying now. Our good friend Jeff DeProsperis is absolutely incredible. He was given 3 months to live and he thrived for 10x. I like to think about it differently. Like, what if, I'm not saying this is how things work or anything. This is just how my brain works. I just like to think, what if before Jeff was ever born, if he was given the option, Jeff, you can live on this earth for 44 years, but then you're going to pass away of cancer. But during that amazing journey, you're going to meet the love of your life. You're going to have two amazing kids. You're going to have good friends and family, and you're going to absolutely thrive. And you're going to be an absolute inspiration so that other people find healing and learn from you. And it's going to, if we are spiritual beings that live in eternity, this is going to strengthen you as a spiritual being going through this process. I have no doubt in my mind that Jeff would be like, sign me up, put me in, coach. Yep. Put me in, coach. I'm in. Let's do this thing. So that's kind of how I like to look at things.
Well, honestly, I'm a firm believer without Jeff, I wouldn't be here still. Because at that point in time, before I met Jeff and heard about his story, the cancer that I was dealing with was still spreading and still growing.
Right. Yeah.
But so he paved the pathway for everybody. And he did it with a smile too, all the way to the end.
Absolutely. That his ripple effect's incredible. There's so many people commenting on his channel, but the ripple effect is immeasurable because now you're doing this and you're inspiring so many people to do it as well. And you're sharing your story as well, which isn't easy to do. The ripple effect's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. How many people are going to find healing just from you, Anthony, alone. And not even just people with cancer, people that are just living their life and they're sluggish and they're depressed. And they're like, man, this guy Anthony's got stage 4 cancer. He's thriving. I can do this too, kind of thing.
So yeah, that's the crazy thing. I've always been active my whole life. You know, bicycles, dirt bikes, tree work, anything with wheels, I did it. And I was never into physical stuff like far as like sports or gym, shit like that. And I have a t-shirt on the wall. I made the 1,000-pound club this last year. So my biggest bench press was 260 pounds. My deadlift was 440 and my squat was 365 ass to grass. It was 1,040 pounds all in under an hour, certified video, the whole 9 yards. I got a t-shirt for a trophy. Last year I did a Tough Mudder, which was, I think, 10 miles, 40 obstacles, took me 4 hours. I'm jumping out of a plane tomorrow for my first time ever in my life. And on September 11th last year, and I'm trying to do it again this year if I get the right gear, is I did the, how do you phrase it? I did a memorial tribute for the World Trade Center, the Fallen Heroes, the Stair Climber Challenge. I put on fire gear last year. I weighed about 175 pounds. I put another 60 pounds worth of gear on, you know, weighted vest, the whole 9 yards, the coat, the pants, the boots, helmet. And I did 114 flights of stairs in fire gear.
That's incredible.
It took me an hour, a little over an hour. And I totally bit off more than I could chew, but my ego kept me going because I don't want to let people down. And I actually have the story of it on my YouTube channel. I'm going to try to do it again this September 11th if I get all the gear properly from the fire department. Otherwise, I'll just put on a weighted vest.
That is, I just got to say one more time, that is incredible. We had Coach Lisa over here. I had a 20-pound vest on, and we did like a mile. And I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. I got to work out more. I'm such a baby. I can't imagine doing that for an hour up the steps. That's crazy.
It was brutal, dude. Like, I was in so much pain. My heart hurt. Like, those fire jackets are thick, you know, and it was changed completely colors. Like, there was water running out of the elbow sleeves because I was just sweating so bad. But I'm going to try to do the challenge, get on 9/11 coming up if I can, get all the gear. And then actually 9/14, I'm doing a Spartan race. It's a 10K, 30 obstacles. I'm excited, and I'm pushing my limits and just showing that an illness or a diagnosis can't define who you are and what you're capable of.
It's so inspiring, man. It's awesome. I encourage everyone, go check out Anthony's channel. I'll have a link below. You got to go check it out just to see the skydiving thing. I'm going to be watching that for sure. I really appreciate you coming on, Anthony. You are incredible. Anything else you want to mention before we wrap up?
I just want to say thank you to everybody, you know, Carrie, everybody in the Healing Humanity segments. I want to thank you, all my supporters, my friends, my families, my enemies, everybody, you know, the good, the bad, and everything in between. Whether you're a good human or a bad human, whether you've done me wrong or right, everything's been a lesson, and I'm grateful for all those lessons.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much, Anthony. Appreciate you.
Thank you.